Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, we've had kind of a busy week, huh?
We have been busy. We've got a lot going on. How many interviews have we done in the last 3 or 4 days? We did 2 on-site events. We did one with the Kids Expo on Saturday.
Right, Kids Business Expo on Saturday. I think there were about 20 interviews there.
And then Monday and Tuesday, we were down at the World Congress Center interviewing folks in the training and development world. And I don't know about you, but I'm just about worn out.
This is like a job.
But we got to stick to it, man. And I know we've both been looking forward to this segment. This is going to be a good one. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with the president of Gates Language and Document Management Services, Carlos Michel. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Managing Director of Alliances Progress, LLC, Mr. Troy Gauthier. How you doing, man?
Great. Nice to be here.
Well, Troy, want to share a little bit about Alliances Progress? What are you guys up to?
Well, we are a small company, a boutique firm that's...
Don't be modest, Troy. You're an international consortium.
We are. we do have an international practice. And we put together companies in strategic alliances, commercial partnerships, and all sorts of what we call business ecosystem frameworks so that they can go to market quickly, inexpensively, low risk, without having to open their own offices or invest abroad.
Now, does it work? So you're working with international firms that want to work in America, or are you working with American firms that want to work internationally, or both?
Both.
And then do you have, is the majority of your business one direction or another?
No. It's truly what we call an ecosystem, so it's interdependent, and services and products are going back and forth, and we facilitate that and also provide the governance for that process.
Because there's different rules in different countries, right?
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes you're just sharing knowledge, sometimes you're sharing software, sometimes you're sharing professional services, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's products.
Now, what's an example of how a professional services firm would utilize your service?
Well, one of the things I did was I helped to build a local consulting firm's international network. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to be able to deliver services anywhere in the world at any time, in any language, in any country. And so we built their international partnership for them with different locally based consulting firms, and quite successful. And so they're able to now, if Coca-Cola wants to go abroad and deliver an SAP project, to do that through their local partners.
So now you're calling these strategic alliances. Is there some parameters around the word strategic alliances?
Well, strategic means it's important.
Right.
And so there's all sorts of a channel play. If it was just a pure distribution channel, usually that doesn't have intelligence built into the network. It's
right.
just distributing products. Whereas a strategic alliance will have feedback loops and local market information that can be used by the source firm in order to grow the business.
So what kind of mistakes do organizations and people within them tend to make if they don't have the benefit of counsel and expertise from somebody like you guys? Probably some of the same things you probably see over and over, right?
Yeah, and it just takes a long time. There's different languages, different laws, different cultures. And so we provide services that accelerate that process and make it smooth and find the right business partners so that there's not a trial and error period. You can jump right in and grow your business and grow your capabilities as well.
Right, because if a person didn't have the contacts, like say in Belgium, you can't just pick up the Belgium yellow pages, right, and go, oh, where's that CPA firm I want to partner with?
Yeah. Well, you can. Yeah. There are loose networks where the name is in a book and, you know, they pay $100 a year and then they can just call that person. But it's much more efficient and much better business practice to actually know the people, to have worked with them before, to have screened them, to know their competencies. And so we help with that process.
Now, is your typical client somebody who has never worked abroad before, or have they had some experience and just had a bad taste in their mouth and they said, I better bring in some help?
Yeah, it could be both. Very often we deal with companies that have tried to open their own office and spent maybe $1 million and been unsuccessful. And mm-hmm. so they're a little bit turned off. But in today's world, you know, it's flat, it's global, it's networked, and you really do need to have an international competency and capability in order to grow your business efficiently.
Now, is this something that you feel that most American companies are not taking advantage of?
The big ones all do. They all have their own systems, their own processes, their own management styles and governance rules. But the mid-tier to small companies do not. Mm-hmm. And so that's a prime target for
us. So that's your sweet spot?
Yeah, that's our sweet spot, yeah.
So is there a Gautier structure, methodology, framework, checklist that you bring to bear in these in engagements? You have some kind of rigor
discipline? Thank you. There is some secret sauce. I've been doing this for 30 years. My company is only 2 years old, but I'm a former partner with one of the big four consulting firms internationally. And
No, it was probably a good experience.
He's recovering.
I'm a recovering, yeah. And so, but it's fun to be an entrepreneur, and it's fun to use that experience with smaller companies. And to help people grow their business is an exciting profession.
Now, are there some parts of the world that are easier to work in it than others?
It's easier to do U.S. and European just for the simple reason that business maturity is much higher. When you go into the emerging markets in Latin America, in Asia Pac, in Africa, the business practices and the infrastructure is not always at the same level as the European and the North American markets. So I would say that's easier. However, there's a lot more competition and there's a lot more people doing the same thing. So
So now, can you walk us through what an engagement looks like? Like at Business Radio X, we want to expand internationally at some point. What would our first conversations be if you were to be working with a firm like ours?
Well, what would you like to do? Where would you like to go? How would you like to do it? And we would do a diagnostic and an assessment. And then from that, I would suggest start with the low-hanging fruit, maybe go to the UK. That's an English-speaking country.
Right.
And, you know, and then from there, gradually build out and, grow your radio capabilities around the world.
And so then, then we did the UK. So then you would help us go and set up shop there
identify
the right partners?
Yeah, I would find a partner. There's three ways to grow. We say you can build your own growth. That's organic growth. That would be opening your own shop. There is buying a company, acquisitions, mergers, joint ventures,
right.
And then there's partnering solutions. And the partnering solutions typically require much less equity, lower risk, and potentially higher rewards, much quicker to market.
And then so you would identify that partner?
Yeah, there's probably a Business Radio X in the UK that's operating and maybe would like to join forces with you, and then all of a sudden you've got stuff going on between the two of you, and yeah. You take it from there. We would help broker the agreements. We would help facilitate the process. And then once you got up and running, you would be on your own.
All right. Sign me up. I'll take two. So talk a little bit, if you would, about public-private partnerships, because these are becoming more prevalent.
That's right. Yeah. We're seeing public-private partnerships very often around the world. For example, in education, in healthcare, in businesses. We see smart cities, for example, with sensors that are monitoring traffic or helping with public transport or all different kinds of energy savings, things of that nature. And so these are always very large, complex projects which require different levels of state and federal government as well as private industry investments and efficiencies.
So now, how does that come into play when you're dealing internationally? I would imagine the complexity of that is you know, tenfold.
Yeah, it becomes more complex, but we have in the mature markets, once again, we have political structures that do that already, and we have business structures, and we have military structures that are organized around these partnership arrangements. You know, we might call them treaties, or we might call them organizations, or the, you know, United Nations. When small businesses come into play, it's more difficult because they don't have experience with that. So we help to facilitate that process.
So you help them navigate through all that bureaucracy?
Yeah. Sometimes we'll actually even build a consortium, which would be a separate entity through which they can source the resources mm-hmm. and the competencies and the capabilities.
Can you share maybe a success story that you were able to help maybe an Atlanta firm or an American firm kind of go overseas and be successful?
Sure. Well, the one that we did here in town was the North Highland Company, which is a consulting company well known here, and they wanted to grow their international competencies and capabilities in the consulting area, right. business consulting area. And so,
and it, just for our listeners, let's explain the North Highland, isn't their model that they want their consultants to be close by?
Local. That's right. It's a local model. It's a local. Right. So they're hiring big four type consultants to come in, and they can stay in the city.
Right.
That
so that's their kind of point of differentiation.
That's right. That's right. So they don't have to travel so much. They can see their kids grow up. Right. That's nice. Mm-hmm. And so when you go abroad, that's even more the case because those are long trips. And so instead of sending consultants around the world like some of the large consulting companies can do, they can then partner with companies that are locally based in those regions or in those countries. And, you know, they can grow their business through the partnership model.
So now in that country, that that consulting firm, isn't they're an affiliate of North Highland, or are they called North Highland?
No, it's a partnership model, and they have a separate entity and a separate name, and they all belong to a member firm organization. Mm-hmm. And that member firm organization is like a club, a business club. You pay fees every month, and then you get in exchange services and you build your own capabilities across industries, across service offerings, across accounts, things of that nature.
So then North Highland would benefit, they're a part of that club, or they created that club?
Yeah, that's right.
And then these affiliates are members of the club, and then if North Highland refers them, then money changes hands, but if they have their own client, then they keep that themselves?
That's exactly it, yeah.
You got a good handle on it, man.
Yeah, maybe we'll hire you to join our company.
I can explain things to people that don't know.
So technology, mobility, Internet of Things, all this must be having a tremendous impact in your world, yeah?
That's right. We are living in a networked economy and a networked society, and we have what's called the SMAC, Social Mobility Analytics, and cloud, S-M-A-C.
SMAC. You're going to hear that again. I'm going to use that in the next show.
Yeah, so, and so all of the, you came up with that?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
This
is the technology underlying these networked relationships and these value ecosystems that are now being built up around the world. And it's very easy to do video conferencing, sharing documents, understanding different business problematics, sourcing, building products, selling products. These are now very commonplace in today's
world. But it's still, the challenge is the same. You want to vet and make sure that you're partnering with the right people. Just because it's easier to find them doesn't mean that they're the right ones.
That's exactly right. So you have to find the right ones. You have to screen them. You have to set up the right agreements. That's always tricky because that involves, you know, legal contracts.
Right.
And then you have to facilitate that process so everyone plays nice in the sandbox.
Right.
And there's a win-win for all parties involved. And if you can do that, then, you know, you're golden. And that's what our goal is.
Now, what is the timeline? If somebody says, you know what, Troy, this sounds great, we'd like to explore expanding into Europe, is that something that takes like a week, a couple weeks, a year? What's the timeline?
Well, it depends on how complex the project is and what types of services and products you're looking to partner with, and the nature of the companies. It can be as quick as several weeks, and it can be as long as several years. We try to do something that's not just transaction-based, a
one-time
shot. Yeah, it's relationship-based.
So that takes time to...
Yeah, that takes time. You have to meet, you have
and
to talk.
Develop the and trust.
Develop the trust and all of that. That's exactly right. And so, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't work. Sometimes you have to change horses in the middle of the race.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time we do the work up front so that the companies that do partner together have the best chance possible to be successful.
All right. Where can our listeners go to learn more and have a conversation with you about this kind of stuff?
Well, my name is Troy Gautier, G-A-U-T-I-E-R, and you can Google me and see my company. It's called Alliances Progress, www.alliancesprogress.com. And, yeah, happy to talk with anyone. My telephone number is 678-644-2533. And thanks so much for the opportunity to put a little advertising into the
it's marketing.
The show. Yeah,
it's all,
marketing.
All about
yeah.
marketing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we're delighted to do it. And it's good programming for us. We're going to do this again. Or at least this is my idea, Lee, if you guys are up for it. I'd like you to come back with a delighted client, you know, get somebody here local in Atlanta. And let's get the 360 view of how this kind of thing works. I think that would be a powerful conversation, something that would be valuable to our listeners. So if it's something you're up for, we'll have you back and we'll dive into
yeah,
this even a little deeper.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. We just built an ecosystem here in the States for a company, a foreign company, that wanted to grow its partner network all over the U.S. So we found partners in California and in the Southeast, in the Northeast, in the Midwest, and they're very happy, and I'm sure they would be delighted to come on the air and chat a little bit about that. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll make it happen. Hey, listen, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Delighted to.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast President of Gates Language Services, Mr. Carlos Michel. How you doing, man?
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, this is a great show. I like this.
You learned something there from Troy?
Yes, this is very good.
All right. You got to stay in front of the mic, Carlos.
Absolutely. My mouth is on the microphone. Right.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys are up to?
Well, Gates, actually, this is a great segue because Gates...
We'll be the judge of that.
I will backtrack. Let me go back to the starting block. But actually, you know, language services facilitates international business.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have an entity that wants to communicate abroad or sell a product abroad, or you have companies that are breaking into the U.S. market, or you just want to communicate here in the United States in the local demographic, we provide that kind of secret sauce, if you will, of being able to reach different demographics, and we cover upwards of 200 languages. Most of it is B2B, and we also help companies reach their clientele.
Now, is your service as simple as I'm going to translate your website into different languages, or is it I'm going to translate documents, or I'm going to actually be a translator while you travel abroad?
Well, actually, this is a true communications company on a professional level. Mm-hmm. So... if you want to translate a document, we really tailor the solution according to your industry. Mm-hmm. So if you're a marketing company, we have an actual native speaker born in the target country, and they are also in the same industry. So it's an extension of the client, and they're communicating in that language fluently.
Because it's not as simple as just translating the words, because culturally the words might mean something totally different, right?
Absolutely. That's the value of this, because we serve as an extra layer between what we may say here in the United States that will not flow in that country.
Right. And it might not mean the same. It could be offensive even, right?
We say many offensive things in the United States, and we have to catch most of this and say, by the way, this is not going to work.
Right. I can't just use Google Translate.
Negative.
Right?
If you want to get kidnapped and thrown into the trunk of a car, yes, by all means, use Google or your phone. You know, but if you want to maintain the credibility of your company, you want to use a professional service such as ours.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's go real time here for a moment.
Sure.
Just a little while ago, we did a segment with Troy Gautier. It was very informative.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond some other things, he's got a nice little piece of content that
right.
he can utilize in his messaging. And let's say for whatever reason, he's going to focus on Southeast Asia. And he wants to somehow get that that piece of content ready for that market. If
yes.
you guys were working together, what kinds of things would you do? Would you help him create a transcript and or
yes.
yeah, walk us through it?
Yes, it would be every form of communication, from the contracts to the agreements to the websites, even the videos if they need voiceover or it could be a marketing piece. So he simply tells us which country he's targeting,
right? Mm-hmm.
And we select a professional according to that. And so then it just becomes an extension of everything that the two parties want to communicate, and we bridge that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we're translating. And translation, by the way, is written documents. Interpretation is having a live individual in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's translation of all the media, it's actually more than word for word. It has to be meaning for meaning, culture for culture.
Right. It's not word for word.
It's not word for word. Because we actually, the United States, we use many words that are not actually the dictionary.
Right.
And that's probably true in every country, right? So you have to have people with that colloquial
absolutely, absolutely. And that's why we prefer all of our professionals to be from that country to be able to put the brakes on something that could be detrimental to your marketing campaign or your, you know, you've done something just completely wrong. We will catch that and say, hey, by the way, we need to kind of change this, or there's no meaning for this. So if they're not in your profession, they may not catch that because they're just spitting out words.
And it's not as simple as, oh, I need somebody that speaks Spanish, because Spanish in Spain is different than Spanish in Puerto Rico. That's different than Spanish
Mexico. Of, you actually can get a job in my company. Well,
look, I got a job offer from Troy earlier, so you guys got to fight for me.
You will be overemployed.
You sound like you have a lot of scar tissue, Lee. Have you made some translation mistakes?
Well, I'm from South Florida, so I know
exactly.
That.
Exactly. So, right? So you may have... Cuban Spanish or Mexican Spanish, or
not the same Spanish.
They're not the same Spanish. So we have the individuals that will say, for instance, we recently launched a marketing campaign for a client that was going to Miami.
Right.
So that was one particular, perhaps a more neutral type of Spanish to capture a broader audience.
Well, in Miami, you can go one block, it's Haiti, and one block, it's Cuba.
Absolutely. I mean,
and they're in the same neighborhood.
Absolutely. Right here in the Atlanta area, we help a lot of companies reach the Hispanic community, which really means a large Mexican population.
Right.
The words could be different. Certain things may work. Certain things may not work. So you're absolutely right. So those are actually different dialects within the same language.
So now, what's the? How do you find these clients that have these needs?
Actually, you know, most of the clients have found us. It's been very organic.
Mm-hmm.
Just yesterday, I was in a meeting, and a lot of the individuals in the room said, "You know, so great to finally find a professional service right here that we can use."
Mm-hmm.
Because so much business is actually international, whether you understand it or not. In the information age, where the world is getting smaller,
right?
As soon as you launch, especially if you have a website, you're instantly international. So if you're not capturing at least one or two other demographics, you're really not capturing 100% of any market.
Now, do you find that, I guess, maybe American companies aren't aware of that, that a lot of their traffic to their website might be international firms that are just hungry for American kind of business and what's up in America?
Yeah, so I paint the picture kind of like a boat, right? So if you're fishing, you may have fish that swim up to your boat. However, they have no understanding what's going on. They swim away.
Right.
Right? So you're losing those clients. Our greatest export in the United States is, you know, our culture, our way of living, you know, our pop culture. So there's a hunger for everything that we do in the United States. So, yes, we want to sell abroad. We want to sell to more individuals here, but we're simply not reaching them. And that's what this service facilitates.
And what's the typical, like, point of entry for you? Do they have you do a contract? What's kind of the first assignment when a company reaches out to you?
It's almost a wildfire already out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a deal going down tomorrow.
Oh, it's like an urgent.
Yes.
It's a crisis.
We're going to send this to you right now. Can you get someone on it? Those are many of our assignments to say, we need to send this contract to France, and we don't want to upload it. We can't have Lucy at the front desk do it anymore.
Right.
You know, we need you. And they'll send it right away, and we get right on it.
And then you find somebody in France that has the knowledge of that industry, and then
No, they actually have to be here in the United States.
Oh.
I like everyone to be within the United States so that we can find you if we need to find you.
Right.
We know who you are, you know. So I like the protection of the United States borders.
Mm-hmm.
So our entire network resides within the United States. However, they must be foreign born.
Oh, I see.
Residing in the United States.
So is that a challenge to find those people?
Absolutely not. We're up to 2,000 professionals.
Wow.
And most of them apply to the company to provide services. And their resumes are impeccable. Professors, doctors. You'd be amazed at the level of professionalism that these linguists have.
Now, you've characterized Google As your main competitor.
Yes.
You got to explain that.
Okay, so when I launched the company, of course, you always do that. Who's going to be your, who are your top competitors, correct?
Right.
It turns out that the giant in the room was Google, which was not my expectation. However, Google does a brilliant job of marketing because we're creatures of habit, right? So if there's information you need, you go to Google. What does this mean in another language? You go to Google. So we have to come in and pretty much undo all of that and say, well, you really can't go to Google and just upload a document and think that the output is correct. So we're really fighting that particular habit that we have to just go online and find a solution. We have to say, we'll say, no, we're actually a human solution, and you really need to go through a service such as ours. So it's just ironic, a business that's kind of on the boutique one-on-one level that almost competes directly with a global giant such as Google.
But again, they're not translating the meaning. They're just translating words.
Right, but not everyone knows that. Right, so they're saying, okay, if I can just use my smartphone, why don't I do that? Or I'm in another country, why don't I just whip out my smartphone?
And do you show them examples of why they don't do that?
We've all seen the commercials, right, of car companies that slapped the wrong name on the back of the car and sent it abroad and didn't sell so well. It happens all the time. YouTube are full of these examples.
Right, so the example you're referring to is the Nova. That means no go.
No go, things of that nature. Absolutely.
And they were wondering why they couldn't sell that car.
Why you can't sell it, you know? So it's just, so we're all learning from that.
Right.
However, the information age, the world is getting increasingly smaller. And we simply don't have time for language barriers and misunderstanding. So back to the question, when the introduction is made, there's almost always an immediate assignment that says, by the way, we have this fire. Can you help us put it out?
Uh-huh. So I got to know your backstory. How did you get going down this path?
Well, so I had a job at, it was Martin Marietta back in the day. It's Lockheed Martin. I got that job when I was 17 years old. I walked in. I actually believe I'm the reason why now all HR departments are behind locked doors. Because I drove to my local Martin Marietta after seeing a commercial, walked in and asked for a job. They were dumbfounded. They said, do you know what we do here? I said, well, how hard can it be? That was a very strange conversation, but they gave me a chance. I ended up working there for 7 years, 17 to 25, and I left because I was developing ulcers. Anyway, so I started a marketing company. That marketing company led me down certain paths. And I got in touch with an individual who had a language company. Mm-hmm. I did a proposal for them. I was denied a proposal to do their magazine. However, they stole my ideas. That didn't go so well. But they hired me later to work in their marketing company, and that's how I learned about languages. So I ended up building my own boat based on what I learned working there.
And then your typical client is a business-to-business client?
Yes, we serve small companies. We serve large corporations. Our typical client is going to be really every sector. We deal with law firms, medical facilities. We deal with international trade. The good thing about this company is that I get to learn about so many other areas of business because, number one, we're reading all their material.
Right.
And we're translating that. And they really come to us because we protect their information. We don't upload, for instance, we all know recently what happened with the Sony hack.
Sure.
So everyone's very wary about uploading documents these days. So they come to us and we just get to learn. My typical client is an atypical client. It's every business that's around that needs to communicate.
And then what's typically the turnaround of translating
documents? It could be as short as the same business day, a very large document or website. You know, some websites are very large, tens of thousands of words. That could be a few weeks. Mm-hmm. But it's all built on the quality, right? So if you want it now, by all means, go to Google. We can't say, I should stop picking on Google before they send people
to
my
door. Well, I was just thinking, there's probably like a plugin or something on WordPress where you could say, make me a French version of this too, but it's probably a little dangerous too.
Yes, it's called machine translation, right? Uh-huh. So machine translation kind of roughly guess what you're trying to say,
right?
You know, and you kind of since you don't understand what the output says anyway,
right? So you don't know,
yeah.
Kind of like everyone who has the Asian marking tattoo now, and we're all starting to guess: does that really mean Dragon Fighter, or right. does that mean cup of noodles? Right? The same thing may be going on your website. You have no idea what it says.
All right, so where can our listeners go to learn more?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. So the website is gaitesco.com. That's GAITESCO.com. And if anyone has a question, or actually the website is very informative. It's written out to be almost educational on the language industry.
And it's in 1,700 different languages, including Mandarin or what?
Actually, we're rebuilding the site. Right now it's only in English, ironically.
All right.
Even though our clients get a lot of translation, but... Since most of our clients speak English anyway, the website's
right.
in English. But you can email us for information at info@gaitesco.com. That's GAITESCO.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Absolutely. I had a ton of fun.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.